الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There is another very special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wasi'. Al-Wasi' in Arabic language is derived from the word, the letters Waw, Sin, Ain, which means vast, expansive. So expansiveness is a quality that can be linked with the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is Wasi'. Is vast and expansive. It can be linked to charity and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's blessings are wasi', vast and expansive. Today what we want to focus on is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is also wasi', is also wasi', is vast and expansive. And in Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay, that my rahmat, my mercy, is so wasi, so vast and expansive. It extends over every single thing. Wasi, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's rahmat is so wasi that it doesn't have any limit. It doesn't have any boundary. There can be a person who has rahmat, but that person's rahmat will be limited, bounded. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is unbounded. And today we want to understand how this is. This rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, how is it unlimited? So subhanAllah, when we look at these ahadith mubarakah and we look at the way Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is distributed, our heart will testify that truly, Ya Allah, your rahmat is wasi. Your rahmat is so wasi that you are truly al-wasi in your rahmat. It extends over every single thing. The Quran begins with two names of Allah Ta'ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And both come from Rahmat. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings two names is that Ar-Rahman is the sifat of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the epitome of Rahmat. And Ar-Rahim is that sifat of Allah ta'ala that Allah dispenses, Allah gives mercy. So for example, you have a wealthy person who has a lot of wealth, but not generous. And on the other hand, there is another person who has a lot of generosity, but doesn't have wealth. So mazah is when a person has wealth and they're also extremely generous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy, the treasures of mercy, vast and expansive, infinite treasures of mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also dispensing and giving that mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. It's mentioned that Hatim Tai was a very generous person. One fakir came to him and said that I want 5 dinar. And Hatim Tai gave him 500 dinar. So someone asked that he asked five, you gave him 500. Hatim Tai here said that he asked according to his haysiyat. He asked according to his ability. I gave him according to my ability. So it's something to think about that if in dunya people are so generous, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is so vast and so expansive, we can't even imagine. And today we want to share with you a few things that truly we cannot even imagine the expansive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, in Hadith Mubarakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's rahmat, His rahmat has 100 parts. And one part has been distributed on this entire makhluk. And then from that one part, it has been further subdivided among all the different creations that we have, whether human beings, animals, birds. In the dunya, wherever you see any muhabbat, any love, any rahmat, it's because of that fraction of that one portion of Allah's rahmat, 1 out of 100. A mother, she has muhabbat for her child. Father has muhabbat for his child. Husband loves his wife. There's muhabbat between brother and sister, between brothers, between sisters, between neighbors, between two friends. This muhabbat in human beings, in animals, in birds. This muhabbat that we see, this is that fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that 100th rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine that if this rahmat that we are seeing around us, this is so minuscule. And because of that, what is the muhabbat that a mother has for her child? All of us are familiar. She is so compassionate, so loving, so merciful. People say that Allah ta'ala loves us more than 70 mothers. This is incorrect. 70 mothers is very less. That's a limit. If all the mothers were to combine, and all the fathers were to combine, and all the sisters and brothers were to combine, and you combine their love in rahmat, then you combine all the love that exists in the animals, then you combine all the mercy and love that exist in the birds, you combine all the rahmat and muhabbat that exist in creation and makhluk, that will become one portion, and Allah Ta'ala has 100 portions of such rahmat. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with his servants with those 100 portions. If you tell a mother to throw her son in the fire, she will never agree. She will plunge, she will take the plunge herself, never put her son in the fire. And this is sabit from a hadith also. Once the Prophet ﷺ was pitched a tent somewhere, and there's a woman who was making some roti on the fire. And she heard that Muslims are there. So she was also a Muslim woman making roti for the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ turned to the Sahaba and said that, is it possible that that mother can put her baby in that fire? The Sahaba said that this is not possible. No mother would do such a thing. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, then how is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his servant in the fire? When Allah ta'ala loves his servant so much more than a mother loves her son. But then the Prophet ﷺ lowered his head, and there were tears flowing from the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ cried for a long time. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ raised his head and said that Allah Ta'ala does not wish to send anyone in Jahannam. But people, because of their own sins, they earn Jahannam. When a mother, she has so much muhabbat, imagine the muhabbat and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how much muhabbat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his servants. And
We cannot imagine, conceptualize this rahmat of Allah. This is the reason why in Quran Allah mentions wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay, that my rahmat is wasi, it's vast, it's expansive, and it extends over every single thing. Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyib rahmatullah alayh, now watch this sentence. He writes in his book that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will manifest his rahmat, and the intensity of the rahmat and the expansive nature of that rahmat will be so much that there will come a time when shaitan will also become hopeful that such big, big sinners are being forgiven. Perhaps I might also get forgiven. I might also be forgiven. He will also lift his head and look up. Okay, perhaps maybe Allah will make an announcement that I will also be forgiven. If shaitan can get hope in the mercy of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, when he sees the rahmat of Allah, so someone who's recited the kalima and lived a life of iman in Islam, how much umid and how much mercy would this person get on that day? So these are two names of Allah which are used in Bismillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Imam Razi Rahmatullahi mentions a nukta here. Says that Allah Ta'ala gave, when he gave the kalima to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala only gave Bismillah, two loves. Bismillah Majreha, Bismillah Mursaha. And he used those two kalima. When he said Bismillah Majreha, the ship would begin to move. Bismillah Mursaha, the ship would stop. And Bismillah was the on-off button. So he says that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was given two words, Bismillah. And because of Bismillah, he was able to guide his ship in that storm. And then he says that our ship that we have is because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given not just Bismillah, but Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And because of the barakah of this ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our ship pass the pul sirat, pass the bridge on that day. So because of the barakah of Allah's rahmat, of being ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a person, the ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be made to enter into Jannah, pass the bridge. In several ahadith mubarakah, now let's look and analyze that how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat so wasi, and truly why is Allah ta'ala arhamur rahimeen, that we can't even conceptualize the boundary, the limits of Allah's mercy. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, if we begin to count, we see that there are excuses and bahana to forgive a person. So for example, that person, in Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala will send some calamity or difficulty on the ummati in this dunya. And as a result of that, Allah Ta'ala will make that person free, will set that person free, will make that person enter into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Any whatever a person, when you get some takleef in this world, musibat in this world, in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving our sins, so that we can be made to enter into Jannah directly, direct entry. No azab on that day. So in this dunya, when someone does something to you, they become jealous, they're envious, they hurt you, there's some enmity, someone does something. So because of all of this, this becomes the kafara on the day of Qiyamah. Someone, some family member hurts you, Allah Ta'ala will use that as an excuse to shower His rahmat on the day of Qiyamah and make this person enter into Jannah easily on that day. Achha, then second thing, the favor, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala for this ummah. When a person makes an intention to do a good deed, he hasn't done any good deed, there is only an intention. So the angel responsible for writing the good deed immediately writes down one good deed in our book of deeds. We haven't done anything, only intention. And for that, one good deed is written. And then when a person completes that good deed, so this angel writes 10 good deeds in our name amal. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. That whoever brings one good deed, Allah multiplies it by 10. So intention of niyat, we get one good deed. And when you do that good deed, you get 10. On the other hand, when a person intends to do sin, nothing is written down. And when a person completes that sin, does that sin, then the angel, he is given a pause. They don't write it as of yet. Wait. Hadith Mubarak, it comes that Allah Ta'ala says to that angel, that wait. And that angel responsible for writing the sin, he is made ma tahat. He is under the command of the angel who is responsible for writing our good deeds. He has to take permission. NOC, no objection certificate. So the angel writing our good deeds, he is given this ijaza, that you will give permission to the other angel. So what happens when a person does a sin? Now the angel responsible for writing our sin, he is asking for NOC. Can I write it down? Can I write his sin? And he says, then what's the jaldi? Why do you want to hurry? Sabruka, sabr. Perhaps this person might make tawbah and there would be no need to write down his sin. So for some time, that angel is made to wait. And still if a person doesn't do tawbah and still there is no remorse and regret, then again, that good deed, that angel, he says that, okay, now you can write it down. Now you can write it down. So when a person does a good deed, so 10 good deeds are written down. And for a sin, that angel is made to wait. And then afterwards, one sin is written down. And in the meanwhile, if a person does tawbah and they do one good deed, so because of this one good deed, their sin is wiped away. Their sin is wiped away. And what is written down is 9 good deeds. Because one is offset by that sin, and 9 good deeds are written down in this person's name. And you look at the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah, an-nadmatu to an-nadmu tawbatun. That this remorse is so beloved, this becomes a tawbah. And Allah Ta'ala accepts this tawbah. Then there is another thing. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will take a person's good deeds and will nurture them, will nourish them. They will grow with time. Just like you have a pot and a plant that is growing, and then it grows eventually into a big tree, lush with fruits and vegetables, fruits and flowers. So in the same way, this person who does good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourishes this person's tree. And then it becomes so big that for one good deed, Allah ta'ala gives the reward for 700 good deeds. Allah Akbar. Hadith Mubarak, it comes that when there is a person who is married, if he prays 2 rakat, for those 2 rakat, he will get the reward of 70, praying 70 rakat. And if he was unmarried and he prayed 2 rakah, he will get the sawab of 2 rakat. But if he is married and he prays 2 rakah, get the reward of 70 rakat. Ya Allah, subhanallah. Why? The reason is because this person is married. He has hukukullah. He also has the hukukul ibad on his shoulder. And when he is discharging his obligation to Allah, as well as obligation to his spouse and children, Allah Ta'ala says that this person is doing double duty. Double duty, so I'm going to increase the ajr. My rahmat will become more for this person. We have seen in dunya also, right? Double time, double duty. Allah Ta'ala also multiplies the effect. Acha, next thing is even more enjoyable, that when a person is awake and the angel for writing our good deeds and the angel for writing our bad deeds, they're busy. And if a person looks at something which is permissible, so one good deed is written. And if a person looks at something which is impermissible, so a sin is written. Now, with those two angels, they are busy. Right? This is when a person is awake. Then, when a person goes to sleep, those two angels, they become free. Right? When we are doing different actions, so those angels are also busy writing what we are doing. But when we go to sleep, now those two angels are farigh, right? They're free. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't keep them free. The angel for writing our good deeds is given a command that my servant has gone to sleep, now you're free. So why are you free? For every good deed there is in this person's name amal, remove 10 sins from his book of deeds. So that angel for writing good deeds, for as long as this person is sleeping, for every good deed, 10 sins are being wiped away from his book of deeds. Why? So that sins are completely wiped away from our book of deeds. That's why in Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet said that whoever recites 33 times Subhanallah after the Salah, and 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar, and then after that they sleep. So they're sleeping, but while they're sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe away the sins from their book of deeds. So this is an amal if we can do. We are sleeping and mashallah, our sins are being forgiven. Achha, then many times it happens that a person falls sick, or a thorn pricks us, or you fall down, you hurt yourself. So because of this taklif, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. This is so much less. Let's say there is a person who has two pockets, and you keep your car key in the right pocket, and now you want to take out the car key, and you put your hands in the left pocket, and you don't find the car key. So for a moment you are worried that where is my car key, and then after you put your hand in the right and you find your car key. So this one moment of tension that you had, because of this one moment of tension, Allah will forgive your sins. Look at the wus'at of the rahmat of Allah. How expansive is Allah's rahmat that Allah is so forgiving, so merciful. Then a person, a friend, if he makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua in favor of his friend. When a person makes dua behind someone's back, Allah ta'ala accepts that person's dua because of the ikhlas there is in that dua. Then another hadith mubarak, it comes that whoever does ihtimam of Friday salah, they make wudu, they take a bath, then they go to the masjid, they pray. When they pray their Jummah salah, from this Jummah to the previous Jummah, whatever sins they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all of their sins because of His rahmat. Then similarly in Hadith Mubarak it comes that person who keeps the fast in the month of Ramadan and he spends the entire month of Ramadan in Ibadah, because of this one Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the entire sins of the year of this person. That's why Ramadan is like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. He had 11 brothers, he himself was the 12th. Because of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala forgave the other 11. Because of Ramadan, Allah ta'ala forgives the other 11 months of the year. And in a Hadith Mubarak, it comes that when all the people that are going to pray Eid Salah, so Allah ta'ala, He asks the angels that what are these people doing? Why have they gathered? And the angels they reply, Ya Allah, these are workers who spend the entire month doing work for you. And now they want their wages, their salary, and that's why they've gathered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that tell them that in return for their fast and taraweeh, I have forgiven all of their sins. Kumu maghfuran lakum. Stand up in such a state that all your sins are forgiven. And I have converted your bad deeds into good deeds. Subhanallah. Achha, then a person goes for Hajj. And because of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their entire lifetime of sin. In Hadith, the Prophet said that whoever performs a Hajj, Raja'a ka yawmin waladathu ummuhu. That person returns back in such a state, is so pure as if he was given birth by his mother. And the day he was born was sin-free. That is how sin-free, that is how pure a person becomes on the return from this journey of Hajj. So some of you might be thinking that these are things which might be relevant for men. They go for Eid Salah, they go for Jummah. So there are also things which are mentioned specifically for women as well. Ajib, Allahu Akbar. So how are their sins forgiven? So Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said that that woman who becomes pregnant because of her husband, the moment she is pregnant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives her entire lifetime of sins. Whatever sins she has done until that point, Allah ta'ala forgives everything at that point. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that when she gives birth to a child, so that moment of birth, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives her entire history of sins. The entire thing is deleted. Lifetime of sins are deleted. And then when she gives birth, and then she raises her child, does tarbiyah, and the moment the child starts to speak, and if the child speaks, and the first word is the name of Allah, because of this one word, Allah, Allah Ta'ala forgives all the sins of the parents. Father, mother, all their sins are forgiven because of this word Allah that the child spoke. So giving birth to a child, one child, Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins of that woman, of the mother, three times. Three times her entire sins, her entire history is deleted. Right? Subhanallah. Then when a woman has to leave this world, and there is what you call sakarat-e maut, the difficulty of maut, sins are also forgiven on that difficulty as well. Then a person goes inside the grave, and there is what you call constriction of the grave, zakta-e qabr, where the qabr tries to contract. And this happens to every person, every believer will have to go through this. And on this as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of a believer. Zakta Kabar means that when a person is laid down in the grave, so the grave tries to press. In Hadith Mubarakah, it comes that this is a very painful amal and it causes pain to a person. And this happens to every person, but the way it happens to a believer and an unbeliever is different. A pious person also has to go through this, but the way it happens to a pious person is, there's an example, story of Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala an, Sahabi Rasul. When he passed, he also had to go through Zakta-e Qabr. A question comes that why does it take place? And the reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that for the believers, right, our sins can be forgiven. When you go to a hotel, you buy something, you buy a food, you buy a chai, you buy a drink, we have to pay the bill. Whatever pleasures we take from that hotel, we have to pay the bill. In the same way, in this dunya, whatever lazzat and pleasures we took, whether permissible or impermissible, the payment has to be made. And the payment has to be made in our grave. That's why zakta-e qabr happens to every person. A person was pious, he spent his life, married life, and he had the pleasures, he had a comfortable bed, air-conditioned room, he had the joy of his children. So he got this ni'mat in dunya. This ni'mat, that ni'mat, this ni'mat, that ni'mat. Payment has to be done. And the payment happens when a person goes inside the grave. But this is very interesting. The ulama have written that the way the zakta-e qabr happens in the grave, the kafiyat is different. Right? If someone has a pain, a headache, and you ask someone to press your head, that will give you comfort, rahat, right? You're getting aram when that person is pressing your head, not taklif. So in the same way, a believer, when they press, the zakta kabar will happen. It will happen in such a way that it will relieve their pain. And on the other hand, an unbeliever, when the zakta kabar will happen, will be very intense, very firm, where the ribs, the bones of the ribs on one side, will go into the other side. Actually, then there's something very interesting that is going to happen on the day of Qiyamah, which again shows us how wasi the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on that day. On the day of Qiyamah, when the believer will be raised up, now Qiyamah will be a very intense day. There will be wahshat, hebat, fear. And because of this fear in wahshat, Allah ta'ala will forgive the sins of the believers. Yani on the day of Qiyamah, there will be different ways in which Allah ta'ala will forgive. Well, Allah will shower His rahmat upon the believers. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive so many people. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will forgive so many people that when it will be time for Hisab Kitab, for accountability, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will take the hisab of this ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will step forward, and it will be like they don't even have any misdeeds or bad deeds in their book of deeds. Everything will already be forgiven by that time. And if there are some very big sinners in the ummah of Nabi Alaihi Salatu Wasallam, so Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will devise certain techniques and strategies, certain excuses to forgive their sins as well. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call one person and then will cover him with this veil of noor so that other people cannot see. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the book of deed in front of that individual. And he said to him that I'll start reading. And he will read that Allah, I've done this and this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. He will testify, he will do tasdeeq that Allah has done all of these sins. And as he is testifying, he in his heart will think, will have yakin, that today nothing can save me from Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, okay, in the dunya we covered your sins, we veiled your sins, we did satar poshi. And today we are also going to conceal your sins. Not only conceal your sins, we are going to convert your misdeeds into good deeds. This is the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's rahmat will be manifested, His misdeeds will be converted into good deeds, then the parda will be removed, the veil will be removed, and people will look at him and they will be wondering that maybe this person is a Nabi of Allah. He is a Nabi or a Wali of Allah. He doesn't have one single sin in his name amal. What type of a person, what type of a life it is? So did he spend in the dunya? Allah Ta'ala with His rahmat will forgive all of the sins of that person. Then second example, the Prophet ﷺ explained that there will be one sinner within my ummah who will be made to stand on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will call that person and will say that, oh my servant, you did this sin, you did this sin, you did that sin. And all the small, small, any minor sins, gunai saghira, will be enumerated, will be counted in front of him. When all these small sins will be counted in front of him, so this person will be scared in his heart. That, you know, the major sins are about to be, that are coming. These are only my small sins and the list is so much, it's so lengthy. What will happen when these big sins are counted in front of me? Then Allah Ta'ala, after counting these small sins, will say to him, that, Acha, O my servant, I want to shower my mercy upon you. And I've decided that I'm going to convert all your sins, these small sins, into good deeds. Now when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will say this, that I want to convert these sins into good deeds, now this person will tell, will ask Allah, that, Ya Allah, those big sins are still coming. Allah, those big sins are still remaining. And in the Hadith of Baraka, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was mentioning, when he was saying this statement, he laughed so much, that the Sahaba Ikram, they say, we could see the throat of the Prophet ﷺ, the back of the throat of the Prophet ﷺ. And when the Prophet ﷺ laughed so much on this statement of that person, that when his small sins will be counted and they will be converted into good deeds, so he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, what about my big sins? They're coming. Allah, change them into good deeds as well. And then Allah Ta'ala will change those major sins also into good deeds. This is the ajeeb rahmat of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Then on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a person who will enter Jannat because of one good deed. Ek neki ki wajah se Jannat. Ab ye cheez, it's very difficult to understand, but this is mentioned in Hadith of Mubarak. That will be two sinners who will be given Jannat on that day. And one of them will be given because of one good deed. Acha, what's the story? So in Hadith, the Prophet explained this. There will be one person who will have one good deed less than his sins. Yani, you weigh their sin, his sins and his good deeds. His good deeds will be one short of his sins. And his sins will be one more than his good deeds. So the angels will say to him that if you can somehow find one good deed, then we can balance your good deeds with your bad deeds. And because of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, we can make you enter into Jannat. But right now your sins are more. Good deeds are less. We can't send you to Jannat. You have to go to Jahannam. So that person will say that, okay, wait. Let me see if I can find one good deed. So the angels, out of the hukum of Allah, will say, okay, you can go search. If you can find one good deed, we'll give it to you. So that person will go to his mother, come to his father, come to his spouse, come to his brother. But no one will be willing to give him their good deeds. They'll say that we have to wait. Our own accountability will start. So that person will be crying. That person will be crying. They'll be saying that I need one good deed. My mother is not giving it to me. My father is not giving. My spouse, she is not giving. She'll be crying. At that time, one other person will see him. And will say that, okay, if you want one good deed, I'll give it to you. Because I have nothing except this one good deed. I have all these sins. I just have this one good deed. So I will eventually, ultimately, will be going to Jahannam. So, theek hai, jate jate, I'll do your bhala. I'll help you. You can take my good deed. You can go into Jannat. So when this person will give this one good deed, there will be an announcement in Jannat. That today one person has given his good deed to another person. And this will be a very ajeeb mamla on that day. So elan, announcement will be made. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels that who is this person who is showing so much generosity on this day? Who is this sakhi? That he is giving his good deed to another person. So that person who gave his good deed, he will step forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you are displaying your sakhawat, your generosity today. He'll say to Allah that, Ya Allah, I just had one good deed. And I thought that I'll just help that person because I will be going to Jahannam in any case. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, okay, you are going to Jahannam, but you have such a rahmat in your heart, such generosity that you're thinking about the pain of your brother. Because of this ihsas that you have in your heart, I am Arhamur Rahimin. I will make both of you enter into Jannat. Both of them will be made to enter into Jannat. This is the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. That a person with only one good deed will be made to enter into Jannat. And then there is an ajeeb mamla that will happen on Qiyamah. There will be two people, Allah Ta'ala will call them, and they will look at their book of deeds, and their sins will be the sins will be many sins, more than their good deeds. And Allah Ta'ala will say to them that both of you go to Jahannam. Your sins are too many. And when they will hear this, so one of them will start racing towards Jahannam. And the other will start walking, will pause, turn around, look back, then again start walking, pause, then again turn around, look back. Allah Ta'ala will call both of them back. That person was running towards Jahannam. Allah will ask him that what happened? Why were you running? He will say that, Ya Allah, my entire life, Allah, I broke your commandments. Now you gave me this one final command that go to Jahannam. So I thought that at least today I should obey your command. I should obey your command on this day. So Allah Ta'ala will say to him that, okay, You have so much azmat of my hukum today. Okay, instead of Jahannam, go enter into Jannat. Then Allah Ta'ala will call the other person that I told you to go to Jahannam. You used to take 2 steps, then turn around, then 2 steps, then turn around. Why did you do this? He'll say that, Ya Allah, in my entire life I used to hear about your Rahmat, that you are Rahim, you are Rahman. And today, even though you gave me this hukum, then go to Jahannam, and I used to walk, then I used to stop and turn and look at you, that perhaps, Allah, you will have taras over me, you will put this glance of rahmat over me. Then again, because of your hukum, I used to walk a few steps. But then again, because of your rahmat, I used to pause, turn around and look at you, that shayad, maybe now you will show taras upon me. So Allah's path will say that, okay, you had so much hope in my rahmat. Because of my rahmat, now enter into Jannat. So both of them will be made to enter into Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is so wasi that we can't even imagine, we can't even conceptualize. And in Hadith Mubarakah, it comes that there will be a person on the day of Qiyamah, and he will be giving his hisab. And in his book of deeds, again, his sins will be more. So the angels will say that, go enter into Jahannam. Now this person will be entering, will be walking, but he'll be crying at the same time. He'll be saying that, Allah, I have no one other than you. Allah, all my friends are now my enemies. All my limbs are also my enemies. They're testifying against me. They're testifying to my sins. Allah, I have no one except you. And when he will say this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call that person back and say that, okay, if you have no one other than me, then I will be for you. I'll forgive your sins, and because of my rahmat, enter into Jannat. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is very ajeeb. In the books it's mentioned, the story is mentioned, that there was a person who was a sinner, and he gave this nasihat to his children, that when I pass away, I want you to put some white on my hair. Some white thing, white element, white, something which is white on my hair. So when he was presented before Allah's path, Allah asked him that, why did you give this wasiyat to your kids? He said that, Ya Allah, I've heard from the scholars, the ulama, that you have haya because of white hair. I've done many big sins, but I put this whiteness on my hair. Allah, have taras on my white hair. And Allah Ta'ala will say that, Acha, you had so much hope in my rahmat, and you have this ihsas, awareness, this perception that you did wrong. So I'm going to forgive all your sins, and because of my rahmat, now enter into Jannat. Then there's also another thing that is mentioned in the books, that there will be a person who was a very big sinner himself. He passed away, he was buried inside the grave, and he was being punished inside the grave as well. But he left behind a child who was masum, was innocent. When that child, he grew up, his wife, she started making him learn the Quran. And when that child started reading Quran, and when he, for the first time in his life, when he read Bismillah, Hir Rahman, Nir Rahim, that innocent child with his innocent tongue, for the first time in his life, when he recites Bismillah, Hir Rahman, Nir Rahim, the moment he recites this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that punishment that is happening on the father in the grave. So the angels gathered, Ya Allah, that person was being punished in the grave. Why did you forgive him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply that his innocent son today, for the first time in his life, he recited Bismillah Ir-Rahman Ir-Rahim. So my rahmat, my mercy does not like that this child is saying Bismillah Ir-Rahman Ir-Rahim and his father is being punished inside the grave. Allahu Akbar Kabir. There was a pious person who was living in a village, And every day when he used to go attend to his fields, he would see that someone was stealing from his field. He would steal atta or roti or crops or grains or something like that, something of that nature. So, here one day he passed away, someone saw him in a dream. They said, what happened? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me, Allah ta'ala showered his rahmat upon me. She said, why was that? She explained that, you know, in my dunya, in my days at the farm, every day I used to notice that someone would come and they would steal something. So one day I decided that I'm going to try to catch that person. So when it was the middle of the night, I was waiting. And then I saw that one person came into my field and started to pluck something out, take something out. So I came here and I asked him that, who are you? And he got terrified. He said that I'm Ahmad. Ahmad. He said, that's my name, Ahmad. So when he said Ahmad, so I said, if you're Ahmad, then this is such a beautiful name. Then go do whatever you want to. I won't say anything to you. And this was that statement which Allah Ta'ala loved, that you did so much izzat and honor, showed so much honor for the name of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a result, I'm going to forgive all your sins on this day. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is truly azim. And we should try to capitalize on this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sins are no doubt many, but one of the things we should do is to focus on the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. We are unable to do tawbah because sometimes we look at our own abilities. What we need to do is to learn to focus on the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And that person who understands and appreciates the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala becomes very easy to leave sin. Very easy. In Quran, look at this rahmat, this ayat of Allah. Allah says, Nabbi ibadi anni anal ghafoor ur rahim. Subhanallah. Nabbi ibadi. When there is a wealthy person who wants to spend his wealth, has an irada to spend his wealth, so he sends a representative that call people, inform them that I want to spend my money among them. Tell people that they should come. Exactly the same andaz Allah's Father is using in this ayah. Allah is saying, call Nabbi Ibadi, that go inform my people, inform my servants. And Ibadi, my servants. This nisbat, this ya is for nisbat. It's very personal. It adds beauty in this word. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Nabbi Ibadi Anni, tell them that Anal Ghafoor Rahim, that I am love to forgive. Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to shower His rahmat upon us, and Allah ta'ala's rahmat is so wasi, so vast and expansive, and still if we are not able to take benefit from this rahmat of Allah, we should try to take benefit from this rahmat of Allah. That's why Allah says in Quran, that ya ayyuhal insan ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. That, O insan, what is it that has distracted you from your kareem rabb? Kareem rabb. And not this rahmat is not only for those who are pious. For those who are spending a life which is distant from Allah, disobeying Allah, they're doing zulm on themselves. Even upon such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His gaze of rahmah. Allah ta'ala calls them in the Quran in a very beautiful way, in a way that is full of love and rahmah and compassion. Ajeeb ayat of the Quran, Allah ta'ala addresses the sinners and calls them, Qul, O my beloved Messenger, say, Ya ibadi al-lazina asrafu ala anfusihim. Let me translate this backward. Asrafu ala anfusim. Those who have done israf on themselves, who have wronged themselves, who have done zulm on themselves. How does Allah Ta'ala call them, address them? Ibadi. You are mine, my servants. You are mine. Yani Allah Ta'ala still says that you are mine. You are leading, you are living a life of sin, but your sins cannot take you out of my rahmat. You're still mine. Allah shows His muhabbat, expresses His love for such people who are doing israf on themselves. And then after that, Allah says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. So do not ever be mayus. Do not despair from this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru zunuba jami'a. Allah Ta'ala will forgive all your sins. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is most forgiving. He is most merciful. Subhanallah. So we should focus on the rahmat, the vastness of the rahmat of Allah, and use that as a way to make true tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. When a person makes true tawbah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, it's very easy. We may not be able to save ourselves from sins, but we can make irada to save ourselves. We cannot reach the destination, but we can make an intention to reach the destination. Our job is just to make an irada. Making us reach the destination, that's Allah Ta'ala's job. That Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. We cannot save ourselves from sin. Our Malik can make us leave sin. Allah Ta'ala is so Rahim that one glance of Allah's rahmat is enough to make a person who is a daku, a robber, a thief, into a friend, a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's glance of rahmat, when it falls on someone who is a zaniya, adulteress, Allah Ta'ala makes that person a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala just needs to shower this one glance of rahmat and our life can be changed. So we should turn to Allah Ta'ala in this month, in this moment, and make such a beautiful, true tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. And what is the most beautiful aspect about this tawbah is that when a person makes tawbah, but the shart is that the tawbah needs to be complete. Tawbah needs to be a true tawbah. You need that a person continues to sin and Allah, I'm making tawbah, but we're still sinning. We won't get the barakah if you make that type of a tawbah. True tawbah. Tawbatun nasuh. When a person, actually, I just remembered, there was a person who, a child who wanted some money from his father. He had this bad habit of wanting money from his father. And one day an alim came to their house and the father complained that teach my child some manners. He's always asking for money. So the alim explained to the child and the child said, okay, I make tawbah. I won't ask money from my father. And when he made tawbah, after that, again, Usne koni mari to his father and said, Father, now I made tawbah, can I have some money? Aisi tawbah nahi. Right? You should make tawbah, which is a complete tawbah, pure tawbah, true tawbah. And then when a person makes this tawbah, again, look at the rahmat of Allah. That person who was a convict, who was guilty, makes true tawbah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just accept your tawbah, Allah Ta'ala changes your sins into good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَةً. Two things happen when you make tawbah. Number one, Allah changes your misdeeds into good deeds. Subhanallah. This person was minus. Allah Ta'ala makes him positive. All his bad deeds are changed into good deeds. And then the second thing which happens is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that now other people should not give any tana to him about his sins. They should not taunt him, rebuke him, reprimand him about the sins that he did in his past because he has made tawbah. In Hadith Mubarak, the Prophet taught us that now you should not rebuke and reprimand. Don't taunt that person. Subhanallah, look how Allah Ta'ala protects the izzat of such a person. Allah Ta'ala zabano ko band kar deta. Don't speak about that person. You should not speak about that person. Don't taunt him. Even though he was ghafil, he was a sinner, but now that person has made tawbah. Sulah karli. That person has reconciled with his Lord. He has come at the door. I have forgiven him. So subhanallah, look at the beauty of the sharia. Sharia is teaching us that you make tawbah, this is with the rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah mentions two words, fazl and rahmat. وَلَوْلَا فَدْرُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. And they're used simultaneously in this ayat. Now one word would have been enough, right? Rahmat. Why two words? The reason is because when a person makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala, because of his rahmat, forgives that person. And because of his fazl, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala converts the sins into good deeds. So this is the beauty of our deen, that if a person can make this tawbah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's rahmat is always there. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is waiting. We just need to capitalize on this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. I'm just going to end with one or two stories. This is a story about a person who was a young man who used to live at the time of Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh. Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh was a tabi'i, and this young man, his mother, she was a student of Hassan Basri. And whenever she had any masala, she would go ask masala from Hassan Basri. And at the same time, she was also worried because her son was not pious, not religious, was living a life of sin. So she would sometimes come to Hassan Basri and ask him also that, make dua, can you come and counsel my son? And a few times Hassan Basri also came and tried to counsel, but that person would not change his way. And then a long time passed by, still that person continued on this path of sin. But she was a mother. Mother is always a mother. Right? So she would keep trying, that Hazrat, please come make dua, please come make dua. And then the Hazrat one day, he said that, I think that person will not be able to come on this path of hidayah. And Hassan Basri said that, I've lost hope. We have tried so many times, but still that person is not willing to change. So anyway, one day this young boy, he becomes sick. And the illness worsens. And now the person knows that, I'm about to leave this world. And he can see the alamat of death. And when the person realizes that, my time is almost up, so he calls his mother and he says to her that, mother, I think now I have only a few more days left and I want to go to Hassan Basri. And I want to go there. I cannot go on my own. And you cannot pick me because I'm heavy. Is it possible that you can go to Hassan Basri and ask him to come to my room and I can make tawbah? And he can teach me the way to make tawbah. And when I pass away, if he can recite my salat janaza as well. So the mother, she runs. She races to Hassan Basri's door. Right? At that time, Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he was giving some answers to masail of hadith, masail of tafsir. So when the mother, she came, that, come, come, my child is willing to make tawbah. So he thought to his own self that maybe the mother, she again is hopeful and the child has no intention of changing. And here these are people here gathered, they want to ask questions, masail about hadith and tafsir. So I should not waste my time going to that son. Rather, I should answer these questions. This is more important. And I've already tried for so many years to give counsel, but nothing happened. So he said to the mother that, oh Amma, we have tried before as well, and I don't have any real hope in your son. So, and these people around me have to answer their questions, so I won't be able to come right now. And he refused. He excused himself. And now the mother, she returned back and she's walking. And when she enters the door, when she comes inside, the son, he could tell by looking at the face of his mother. And he asked the mother, Hassan Basri refused to come, right? And she said that, yes, he refused to come. And he doesn't want to pray your janaza as well. When the young man, he heard this, he felt this in his heart. He said to himself that, I'm such a big sinner that the ulama and the mashayikh of the time, they don't want to come, they don't want to meet me. And they don't want to pray my salat janaza. So then he said to his mother, that, oh my mother, I want to make a wasiyat to you, that if Hassan Basri is not willing to pray my janaza, then listen to my wasiyat. She said, Beta, what's your wasiyat? He said that, when I leave this world, then I want that you take your dupatta and you put that dupatta around my neck. You put your scarf around my neck. And then you take my body outside on the road, on the street, and then use that scarf to drag me on the streets of that city, so that people of the city will know that a person who is disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, this is not how that person dies and passes, where that person's neck is being dragged around the city. And perhaps, O my mother, this zillat will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and might become the means for my forgiveness. He was crying, she was crying. In that state, the young man, he passed away. When he passed away, the mother, she is still crying. A few moments elapse and she hears a knock on the door. She opens the door and she is surprised that Hasan Basri is standing outside. And she asks him that, how did he come? Why did he come? So he said that, when you went back, it was time for Kailula, so I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I saw a dream. And I was blessed with this, with the ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was told, that O Hasan Basri, that you claim to be my friend. And there is this one wali of mine who just passed away. You are refusing to pray his salat al janaza. What type of a friend are you? If you want your friendship, our friendship, to remain intact, you should go and pray the janaza of my wali. At that time, my eyes opened and I understood that your son has passed away and Allah has accepted the tawbah of your son. So this person, young man, who spent his entire life in sin, he is making tawbah in the last moments of his life. Allah Ta'ala is so Rahim. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is so wasi, so vast and expansive. That when a person is spending his entire lifetime of sin, a person is burdened by the heavy burden of his sins, still when a person comes to Allah Ta'ala, and they have remorse in their heart, and they attach themselves to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, one can never despair from the rahmat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala, that's why Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. That, O insan, what is it that has kept you away from your Rabbi Kareem? In the books, it's mentioned a story by Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that he once came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked that, Ya Allah, when an obedient person calls you, how do you reply? Allah Ta'ala said, I say, Qala aqulu labbaik. I say, labbaik, I'm hazir. Ask what you want to ask from me. Then he said, Ya Allah, when a zahid person calls you, how do you reply? Zahid is someone who is detached from the dunya. And again, Allah Ta'ala said that, O my kaleemullah, O my beloved, I reply, Akulu Labbaik. I say, Labbaik, I'm here for you, O my servant. Then he asked, Allah, what when an asa'im, a fasting person, calls you, how do you reply? And again, Allah's Father has said that I say, Akulu Labbaik, the Labbaik, I'm hazir. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, Ya Allah, when a sinner calls you, how do you respond to the call of a sinner? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qala akul, labbaik, labbaik, labbaik. Three times Allah ta'ala welcomes the sinner. Three times. And then Allah ta'ala explained that, O Musa, that the other three, the first three, when they were calling me, they were looking at their own ibadah. They were looking at their own fasting. They were looking at their own zuhud. But the sinner, when he called me, he had nothing in his book of deed. He had nothing except for sins. When he was calling me, he was calling me only because of my rahmat. And O Musa, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that whoever relies on me, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, I become sufficient for that person. Whoever relies on this wasi rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will suffice for that person. So today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity. Why shouldn't we capitalize on this opportunity, take benefit from this opportunity, and use Allah ta'ala's rahmat to get our sins forgiven? If you can make this tawbah today, inshallah, this is a moment. We don't know when this month will pass, when all of us will leave. No one knows when that will happen. But this is an opportunity, this is a night, this is a month, which is the month when Allah's Father wants to shower His intense, extreme rahmat upon us. So we should try to benefit from this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to get our entire lifetime forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that burden of sins, we can lessen that burden. And we can make this dua to Allah that Allah, you have taught us that in this month of Ramadan, that we should lessen the burden of people who are matahit to us, under us. Allah, we are also under you. Allah, we ask that you lessen the burden that is on our shoulder, this burden on sin. So today, inshallah, if we can make this tawbah, if we can do sulah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala's rahmat will also come in full force, full jorge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive our sins. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that may Allah ta'ala forgive us for all of our sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for a life of taqwa, tahara. May Allah ta'ala include our names among His lovers and beloveds. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make dua inshallah. Subhana rabbil al muhammad. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, you are al khaliq, you are al malik, you are al razik. Ya Rabbi Kareem, today, ya Allah, we learned about your rahmat. Allah, your rahmaniyat. Allah, you the wasat of your rahmat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you truly, Allah, your rahmatu wasiyat kulla shay. Allah, your rahmat extends over every single thing. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are also a thing. We are also your makhluk. Allah, we are also your servants and slaves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we allow you to come to you tonight in Tawbah. And Allah, we ask you for that special rahmah. Allah, we ask for that one special glance of rahmah. Allah, we ask for that one special glance of rahmah. That one special gaze of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah, he did not have this ni'mat of iman. He set out of his house with the niyat to, na'uzubillah, murder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah, your rahmat, Allah, your gaze of rahmat fell upon him. Allah, you blessed him with iman, blessed him with hidayah. Allah, you made him Amir al-Mu'mineen. You made him Khalifatul Rasul. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we are also the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, we ask you for that same rahmat, ya Allah. Allah, we have this talab for hidayah in our hearts. Allah, we are asking this hidayah from you. Allah, we are asking this tawbah. Allah, we are asking this maghfirah from you. We are asking this rahmah from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, shower all of us. Allah, with this one glance of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, read about stories in the books. Ya Rabbi Kareem, that your rahmah fell upon a zaniya and she became a wali of Allah. Allah, your rahmat fell upon a thief. Allah, you made that person your friend. Allah, your rahmat fell upon a drug addict. Allah, that person attained your friendship. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we are also, Allah, gathered here. Allah, we are also, Allah, asking you for your rahmah. Allah, we are also, Allah, making tawbah of our sins. Allah, we have no other intention to gather here except to get your rahmah, except to earn maghfirah. Allah, except to get our tawbah accepted by you. Allah, we have gathered here with no other intention except, ya Allah, that we want to become pleasing to you. We want to attain your muhabbat. We want to get to know you. We want to discover you. We want to maintain our taluk with you, improve our taluk with you. Allah, we want to strengthen our taluk with you. Allah, we want to get to know you deeply and intimately. Allah, we want to be able to feel your closeness and nearness. We want to be able to feel your friendship. Allah, we want to be able to feel and get to know you deeply and intimately. Ya Rabbi Kareem, that's our intention with which we have gathered tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we understand that we have sins. Allah, we understand that we have these mountains of sins on our back. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, Allah, you are the changer of sins. Allah, you are Rahim and Kareem. Allah, in this month, ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you lower, that you lessen, that you reduce this burden of sin, ya Allah, on our back. Allah, in Quran, you say, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Allah, you're commanding us and telling us that we should be forgiving. and we should be forbearing towards other people. We should do husn-e-akhlaq with them. We should treat them with kindness and generosity, with forgiveness. Allah, we should treat others with those sifat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you also treat us with those same sifat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, treat us with forgiveness. Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Shower this maghfirah upon us. Shower this rahmat upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we are bad. Allah, bad people, they do bad things. But Allah, you are good. Allah, we ask your goodness from you. Allah, we ask this rahmat from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah. Allah, we come to you tonight. Allah, with this hope and umid in our hearts. Allah, we look at our book of deeds. Allah, we see nothing except for sins. Even the good deeds that we thought we did, Allah, we know that they are not adequate. Allah, we know that there are shortcomings, there are deficiencies, there are weaknesses there. Allah, we know that we haven't done any ibadah that we can present to you, any ibadah that is worthy of your rank, that is worthy of being accepted. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we have nothing in our amal. Allah, we have nothing, ya Allah. Allah, shaitan has, ya Allah, deceived us. Shaitan has, Allah, snatched away all of our good deeds, either because of hypocrisy, riya, ostentation. Allah, we have nothing in our book of deeds. Ya Rabbi Kareem, what we have is just umeed in you. Allah, we read about your rahmat today. Allah, when we read about your rahmat, Allah, we get this hope in our hearts. Allah, we get this incredible hope in our hearts that Allah, you will shower this rahmat upon us, that you will also forgive us, that you will also draw us close to you, that you will shower us, ya Allah, with this rahmat in this dunya, with this rahmat in akhirah, that you will also put our names amongst the muhibbeen, the mahbubeen, those people who are pleasing to you, those people who are pleased by you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah. Allah, we present this rahmat to you. Allah, we present this hope that we have in our rahmat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask you that you, Allah, you said in hadith, you could see, ana inda zanni abdi bi, that I treat my servants the way they think about me. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we're thinking about your rahmah. Allah, we're thinking about your rahmaniya. Allah, we're thinking about your maghfirah. Allah, we're thinking about you being at-tawwab, you being al-ghaffar, al-ghafoor, al-rahman, al-rahim, al-kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you treat us in a similar way. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower all of this rahmat upon us tonight. Allah, shower all of this maghfirah upon us tonight. Allah, we have entered the ashra of maghfirah. Allah, Ramadan is passing by. Allah, this is the maghfirah of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, shower this maghfirah upon us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, the days are maghfirah. The nights are of maghfirah. Allah, you are al-ghafoor. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we gathered here to get this maghfirah from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us, ya Allah, grant us this maghfirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, ya Allah, on this path. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us, ya Allah, from sins. Save us, ya Allah, from a life that is displeasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make true tawbah. Allah, even if, ya Allah, we don't have sincerity in our hearts, if we don't have sincerity in our tawbah, Allah, we ask you that you make this tawbah true. Allah, it's difficult for us to make true tawbah. Allah, we ask you, Allah, make this true tawbah. Allah, grant us tawfiq to make true tawbah. Even if this is not a true tawbah, Allah, we ask that you make it true, ya Allah. Allah, we are presenting ourselves to you. We are presenting our helplessness to you. Allah, we are presenting our bebasi to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we are presenting ourselves to you. Allah, we don't know how to ask tawbah. Allah, we don't know how to make tawbah. Allah, we don't even know the tariqah to make tawbah. Allah, we're just presenting ourselves to you tonight. We're just opening our hearts to you. Allah, we're opening our hearts to you. Allah, we want you, ya Allah. Allah, we want you to come back into our heart. Allah, we want you to come back into our life. Allah, we want you to accept this tawbah. Allah, even though, Allah, we don't know the adab of tawbah, we don't know the etiquettes to make tawbah. Allah, we just want you, ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask that you shower us with your rahmah. Allah, out of your rahmah, Allah, accept this tawbah. Allah, out of this rahmah, Allah, accept these words that we are uttering. Allah, accept these du'as that we are making. Allah, accept these hands that we have raised up. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, there might be someone in the gathering, Allah, whose ibadat you like. There might be someone in the gathering, Allah, whose fasting you like. There might be someone in the gathering, Allah, whose tilawat you like. There might be someone in the gathering, whose salah you like. Allah, there might be someone in the gathering whose haya you like. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we give wasta to you of that one person, of their good deed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have gathered here. Allah, we ask you about that barak of that one person. Allah, accept the tawbah for all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, accept the tawbah for all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, if you don't accept our tawbah tonight, Ya Rabbi Kareem, shaitan in us will take us away from you. Allah, they're waiting to take us away from you. Allah, they are your enemies. They are our enemies as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us, Ya Allah, from those enemies. Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't give them an opportunity to become happy over us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, accept this tawbah, Ya Allah. Allah, if you don't accept our tawbah, Allah, then our jawaniya will be zaya. Allah, we will waste our youth. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, don't allow us to waste these precious years. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our youth for the sake of Iman, for the sake of Deen, for the sake of your Muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, put us on this path of your Muhabba, this path of your Mahbubiya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're presenting ourselves to you tonight. Allah, from the tips of the head to the soles of our feet, Allah, make us such that we become pleasing to you. Allah, make us such that we become acceptable to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to make this, Ya Allah, sawda with you. Allah, we want to do sulah with you. Allah, we want to reconcile with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we know that you're upset with us. Allah, we know that you're upset with us. Allah, we want to win you over. Allah, in the dunya, when our parents become upset, Allah, we come to them. We ask them for forgiveness. We cry before them. We have tears in our eyes. Allah, our parents, they finally accept our apology. They forgive us. They become merciful to us. They shower muhabbat upon us. They give blessings to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are more rahmat. Allah, you have more rahmat than our parents. You are more merciful than our parents. It is easy to, Ya Allah, it's much easier to win you over than any of our parents. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have gathered here knowing that, Allah, you are upset with us. Allah, we want to win you over. Allah, we want to win you over. Allah, we want to win you over. Allah, we want you to become pleased with us again. Allah, we want you to become razi with us once again. Allah, we want you to become happy with us once again. Allah, we want you that you forgive us. And not just forgive us. Allah, we want that you smile upon us as well. Allah, we want to look at your smile. Allah, we want to experience your smile. Allah, we want to know in our hearts that you're happy with us. Allah, we want to know in our hearts that you're pleased with us. Allah, we want to know in our hearts that you're smiling upon us, that you've accepted our tawbah. Allah, give us that contentment in our heart, the contentment in our heart that you've accepted our tawbah, the contentment in our heart that you've forgiven us, the contentment in our heart that, you, Allah, you're looking at us with rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us that contentment. Allah, grant us that contentment. Grant us that itmanan. Allah, grant that itmanan out of your rahmat, Ya Allah. Allah, out of your rahmat, Allah, we're asking you, we're imploring you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept this, Ya Allah. Allah, accept our gathering, accept our sitting. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we could be easily sleeping at this time. We could be easily be doing other things at this time. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, the fact that we're sitting here, gathered here, Ya Allah, we're sitting here only, Ya Allah, we want to make you razi. Allah, our only intention is to please you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this intention that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this niyat that we have. Accept this sitting and gathering together for your sake. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower Allah, one glance of rahmah. Allah, we ask you for only one glance of rahmah. Allah, one gaze of rahmah. One gaze of muhabbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, accept these du'as on behalf of the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept all the pious intentions that any one of us have in our hearts. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم